You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. I'm so excited, because Agent Carter is back! Yay!
Yay!
Indeed, yes. It has been a long wait, but it was great that we had the double episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Yes, indeed. Genuine thanks, Obama. So how you doing tonight, John?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been kind of a crazy week, and today finally slowed down a little bit, so been able to enjoy myself.
Good. It's super crazy for me with the new job and theater stuff, and as I mentioned before we got on air, we're waiting to see if a winter storm hits Atlanta, and who knows? The governor seems to think that we're going to have a total system shutdown, but and as anyone who works at a school, I am hoping for French Toast Day tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I just have the feeling that Jason Carter would have been much more sane when approaching this.
Could be. Yeah, it's just, you know, everyone's just super. Super careful and up
right. Well, being after last time, I mean, I can't really blame anybody for being overly cautious.
Yeah, that was yeah. One for the books. But
we can't count on Chipper Jones to save us all.
This is true. This is very true. All right, cool. Well, yes. We've got a fair bit of news. Not a ton, but a good bit. I know one of the things is, of course, everyone's worried about ratings, and the ratings were not as high as they were hoping for, so they are, for Agent Carter this week, so they are re-airing it on Sunday, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's not the first time in the history of television that's happened. Doctor Who comes to mind.
Of course.
Yeah, back in the 60s when gentleman in Texas decided to perch himself in a book depository and then take out the President of the United States. It kind of put a dent
in the first episode.
Yeah.
And so they did. That's true. They did reshow it the following Sunday, I believe. So
not saying that anything that serious happened this time.
No.
I mean, it's just the State of the Union.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. But. So there's that. One thing that I did not notice had come up until right before we started recording was there's a character named Wong in Doctor Strange, and
yes.
A guy named Benedict Wong has been cast as that.
How perfect was this casting?
Apparently great. So what can you tell us about that character in the comics?
Wong has long been an assistant to Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, he keeps up the house. He assists Doctor Strange in his adventures.
Mm-hmm.
He is himself a skilled magician and a trained martial artist. It is one of those things where he definitely seems like he might be like a stereotype on the surface, but there's a lot more depth.
Oh, good. Okay.
To Wong than you might initially think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Wong moments came in the New Avengers comic after their team had moved into the Avengers mansion,
mm-hmm.
which included Doctor Strange and Wong, and Wong had kind of taken up the role of Jarvis,
mm-hmm.
to this team of Avengers.
And
you know, the Edwin Jarvis comes in and immediately, like, Wong drops any pretense, gets super serious with him, and basically tells him, "You will not mess with my kitchen, or I will step you up."
That's great. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been filming for about at least a month or so, haven't they?
Right, but everything's been in Nepal so
That's
far,
true.
So you know, at least the reveal of Wong's casting means mm-hmm. we're probably going to start moving into you know, the New York phase, so to speak, mm-hmm. even though they're doing all the filming in England.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they were doing it at Pinewood in London, so.
Right. Great classic studio.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Another thing that that has recently come up, and this is unfortunately still at the rumor stage, but it's appearing in enough places that I think there's probably some credibility to it, that Cate Blanchett is going to be playing, and is it Hela or Hela, or how
do you
say that?
I think Hela is the traditional okay. pronunciation.
So she's playing Hela for Ragnarok.
Right. Which certainly makes sense. I know there was some speculation whether she was going to be Hela or whether she was going to be the Enchantress.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like an actress of her stature, you got to make her the primary villain.
Right.
You got to make her somebody with the kind of the gravitas of Hela, who is in Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm.
She's in charge of the underworld.
Right.
She's pretty much the Norse version of Hades.
Right. And she's great in everything. So
right.
I'm happy to have her. Assuming that does work out, I am thrilled to have her in the MCU family, and I think she'd be great for it. So looking mm-hmm. forward to it.
Definitely.
And then we've got a little bit of stuff that has come up regarding Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Cox has made some comments about whether or not the Defenders are going to be in Infinity War.
Yeah, it's kind of a will they, won't they. I don't think even Kevin Feige knows if he's going to include them yet.
Right. I mean, there was the rumor of 67 characters, and everybody's
right.
been trying to figure out which ones those would be, and I don't know anybody who's gotten past about 50 characters that would matter for anything. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, and Cox mentions the fact that that the movies and the TV shows are continuing to drift further apart in many ways
mm-hmm.
With the reporting structure and just the kinds of things that they're doing. But at the same time, there's tons of crossover.
Right. And you can even just see them briefly kind of reacting to whatever's going on.
Right. And I could have, did I make this up? I could have sworn that he was in Civil War. Is he not in Civil War?
He's not in Civil War
okay.
that I know of. Certainly haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
He is contracted for the movies,
mm-hmm.
and I would assume that that particular provision extends to essentially anyone who plays
right.
a character in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
They could use them if they wanted to.
Right, certainly anybody who's playing a major named character.
Right. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that just because they signed a contract and they might be in it, that they will be in it.
Right. But it also sounds like Infinity War is going to be all hands on deck by the second one, so.
Well, if you know anything about Thanos, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much everybody.
It's a good reason to have all hands on deck.
Although, you know, and we've mentioned this before, one of the things with that is when you're talking about cosmic level villains and heroes, mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot that a Jessica Jones can do in a fight that's going to have, you know, Thor and Thanos and everything else. But
I think there was a particular issue of a comic book where Daredevil and Spider-Man are just opting to sit it out and watch it.
Yeah.
Because they know they can't do anything.
Right, you know, and it's very much like the line that Hawkeye has in Age of Ultron, where he's like, "I've got a bow and arrow, you know, what am I even doing here?" But you know, there's a lot of characters that are not, you know, super duper powered, you know.
Right.
Star-Lord, what's Star-Lord gonna do? He can't fly or anything, so.
Yeah, he's got those little jet boots.
He does have jet boots.
Blasters and, you know,
his
sass.
He does have sass, that's true, but we'll have to see how it goes.
Sweet dance moves.
Indeed, anyway. Indeed. The other bit of talk about Daredevil was he's saying that there is something equivalent to the hallway scene in season two, and I kind of have mixed feelings about that. I mean, I hope it's not the same kind of thing, because that was great, but they need to move on and do something else, you know?
Right, and I mean. I think I'm one of those only people that, as much as I like the hallway scene, mm-hmm. I wasn't like, oh my god, like a lot of people were when they saw it. It's like, yeah, it's a good fight, it's a nice beat down.
It's a really good fight. It's one of the better fights in the show, and mm-hmm. one of the best fights on film. And the nice thing is, unlike a lot of, you know, famous movie fight scenes, like, you know, the 10,000 Mr. Smiths fight in Matrix or something like that, this is just dudes, you know. This is not a lot of effects. There's not, you know, a lot of crazy wire work or anything. It's just a really well choreographed and really well shot scene.
That's what made Daredevil stand out was this scene was exemplified the brutality that's in it.
Right, absolutely. The unflinching nature of it, you know, the fact that they don't pull back from the stuff that is, like you said, that's very, very brutal. So, and then the only other bit of news I can think of, at least that I can think of being relevant, is they moved up Spider-Man by a few weeks. It was going to be coming out at the end of July, and now it's going to come out at the beginning of July.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like Disney was doing a little shuffling there, because they moved Episode 8 as well of Star Wars.
Right, right. And that was an even bigger move. That was like going from May to December, I think, right?
Yeah, so that may just be just a little shuffling around, and probably nothing anybody should worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know... And technically this is Marvel supervised but Sony produced, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter of what's going up against what, and you know, July 7th will probably catch. I'm not sure where July 4th falls in 2017, but that may catch some of the holiday weekend stuff, which is always good. So we'll see. And I think that is about it for big news. Can you think of anything else going on?
I think that's pretty much it for now. There was a nice bit about Ryan Coogler saying that he grew up reading Black Panther comics.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it just makes me feel even better about this franchise being in his hands.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always good to have somebody who's... you know, who has their heart in it, who really gets it. And, you know, a lot of the people that have done really great things with the MCU, like James Gunn and like Joss Whedon, are people who've been, you know, serious lifelong comics fans. So I'm very glad to hear that it's in good hands with somebody who gets it and who understands, you know, the style and the aesthetic of the comic, the history of it, what it has been, how it's been used over the years. So I'm really looking forward to that. Alrighty, cool. Well, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the gigantic double episode of Agent Carter.
Hey guys, are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? Something a little on the geeky side, but lots and lots of fun with some crazy dudes? Well, if I got something for you, it's called the Vitamin Geek Podcast. I'm the host, Corey Keelan, and I'm here with my friends, Eric Williams. What's up? Patrick Sykes.
Greetings, everyone.
And Michael Zippy Miller.
Hey there.
We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Horror movies, science fiction. We love Star Wars. Who doesn't love Star Wars? If you don't like Star Wars, get the hell off of here. Check us out, man. Vitamin Geek Podcast right here on the ESO Network.
It's all part of the plan.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast delivers the latest sci-fi news plus movie and TV reviews with brilliant and insightful commentary. If you haven't listened to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast before, you will listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast now.
What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
Watto, I'm telling everyone to listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will, including you.
No, they won't. I'm a Tridarian. Mind tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Okay, I don't have money, but please listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now it is time to talk about our first couple of episodes of Agent Carter. And I am so psyched. It is so good to have Peggy back in action and Jarvis. And I'm just super squee.
It was great. I love the snark. I love the dialogue. New situation took some getting used to between the East Coast and the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it'll be. It's always interesting when you've got something where you've split the party, basically. Mm-hmm. Where to say how are they? Are they going to just kind of let some things drop? Are there going to be episodes where we have just the West Coast and not the East Coast stuff? Or how's it gonna all work together? But we'll see.
Or is one gonna close down and we get consolidated again? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And of course, we started out with that fight with they psyched us out. It was nice. It was a nice mirroring of what they did in the very first episode.
Right.
In terms of instead of having Peggy walking towards us through the crowd, we saw the red hat walking away from us. Mm-hmm. And then of course it ends up being Dottie pulling her single white female, I'm gonna dress up as Peggy thing.
Yeah, Dottie has a weird stalker crush on Peggy.
She totally does, and I'm sure I'm not the only Peggy cosplayer who as soon as was looking at it and going, that doesn't seem quite right. And then when she looks up, it's like, oh, you totally got the collar on that shirt wrong. I was like,
it's like the cosplayers are the first ones to notice that it's Dottie.
Exactly, because it's like, well, that's really close to Peggy's outfit, but it's not the same. That collar is all wrong. So, or maybe I could be wrong, but that was what I saw. A good fight, although this is something that was an issue for me all throughout. Though it seems like they've changed a lot about the style in terms of, mm-hmm. of how fast the cuts are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first fight between Peggy and Dottie, it was really hard to follow. You didn't really get to see, the fight. It was, I was explaining to somebody and I'm like, it's just a lot of hair getting thrown around. You just see whoosh, and
yeah.
I We've been talking about like the hallway scene from Daredevil, and that there are so many good examples of fight choreography and how to shoot a fight, and like the slow-mo thing where she hits her with a bag of gold coins.
I know, like that was the moment where I was like, oh, ugh. Because you may hold some change in your hand and think that that's loose and it can't hurt that much. A big bag of them like that hurts like hell.
And I get that it's a comic book thing, and Peggy Carter is Agent Carter's much more of a four color comic kind of show than Daredevil or something like that. But just the perfect little stacks of gold bars in the background and the way that the coins flew, I was like, this looks. It was a much more stylized look than I'm used to. So she takes down Dottie. She's got the love the hat line. We've got the interrogation, and then Thompson is like, "You're leaving." And I get that he's mm-hmm. jealous of her on some level, but that just seems stupid.
At the same time, it's like Sousa's asking for the best, and that's exactly what Thompson sends him.
It is, but it also seems like he's doing it because he wants to get rid of Peggy. And it just seems like, you know, Dottie even says it, you know, she's the only person that can get inside Dottie's head. And it's like, why are you sending... I mean, this is like...
Oh, it's because Dottie wants Peggy inside her head.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't go so well for Thompson when he tries to interrogate her.
Yeah, Thompson is still... It's nice to see that he's still full of himself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's like... Because when he unlocks the cuffs, he's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You're not that highly trained.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be interesting to see, we've got, I should have looked up the name, but I'm going to keep calling him Red from That 70s Show. The guy, the government official who came in and said, okay, we're taking over this case.
Yeah, he was at the FBI.
Yeah, he was an FBI guy. It'll be interesting to see where that goes, because my first reaction was, oh, he's a Hydra. But, you know, I forget if it was you or someone else was like,
right.
No, he's just an FBI guy. You know, he's just...
And the CIA wasn't exactly formed at that point, so...
That's true.
I mean, it was still kind of like in its infancy. I can't remember the preceding organization.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, maybe it was like Office of Special Intelligence or something like mm-hmm. that. So... At this point, the FBI would be the ones dealing with any spies captured on American soil.
Mm-hmm. So it'll, I mean, that's you know, an actor that's got some chops, and so I'm assuming we're gonna see him again. It will be interesting because what Peggy was apparently trying to get was this little stick pin ID kind of thing, and it mm-hmm. had a symbol on it.
Well, that's what Dottie was trying to get, and then, of course, Peggy stops her and is trying to figure out what it is.
Right, and that completely did not click for me until later on in the show when the same symbol starts popping up again. But, yeah. So then we move over to the West Coast, and... Oh, Sousa. I love Sousa so much. He's such a great guy, you know?
Yeah, even Rose pointed that out.
Yes, indeed. And he's got a new girlfriend, and he's got the ring, but he doesn't actually propose to her.
No, right? Well, part of it is he keeps meaning to, and then stuff comes up with Peggy and
sure.
Peggy's investigation, and he's like, oh, crap, I gotta postpone things.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if he ever gets around to it, because, you know, he was out there, you know, on the West Coast for 6 months or however, I mean, could it be 6 months? I don't know, however long it was. But then Peggy comes back, and he's still kind of got some chemistry with her, so it'll be interesting to
yeah.
see if he goes through with getting engaged or not.
Well, as Rose even pointed out, it's mm-hmm. like he's got a special concern for Peggy.
Right. And it was good to see Rose back. I think she's fun. She yeah. really about the only thing that she did in the previous season was she was the one who said love the hat. And I think when Jarvis came to the telephone company at some point, she was the one that said, I'm sorry, this is just a telephone company and you need to leave, or something like that. But right. I could be wrong. I don't know. You just rewatched it.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, oh, I know how it thought is, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But cool to have her back, and cool to have the occasional interruptions of people coming in and auditioning for the fake talent agency. That was
yeah,
fun.
I'm sure that's got to be a fun part of her job. Like,
yep.
I can't just tell them to go away. I actually have
right.
to watch this first.
Right. And of course, Peggy and Jarvis, they're awesome. I'm so glad to have them back. And when Peggy steps off that plane, like everybody, I immediately was online looking for those sunglasses because
yeah,
they're
been trying
so
to find that. I've been trying to find that 4-0 point. Tie, and of course, like everything Jarvis wears, it's vintage. So
right, vintage and expensive, probably.
Vintage, As in, like, the only one ever.
Probably, yeah. Wow.
Or the only one left.
Yeah. That stinks, but yeah, we get to see a lot more cool-looking cars, you know, of course, because it's L.A., and, of course, Howard has a tricked-out car with all... And it's so funny
Good
because...
Good Lord, is that a mirror?
Yes, and it's great because it's like a James Bond car, except it's all things for, like hitting on women and stuff.
Pretty much. I was like, oh, well, you know, even in, if you ever saw GoldenEye,
yeah,
you know, Pierce Brosnan had the champagne thing in the,
right.
in the armrest.
Right, exactly. So so it's a nice little homage to that. I'm looking forward to, it looks like from the previews, we are going to get to see him. I was worried that we might not because, you know, that actor has so many other things going on right now, but
he's working on Preacher at the moment.
Yep, and so I'm glad we're going to get to see him at some point. So for new characters, one thing that didn't even click with me when I was watching it was, you know, the girl playing Seuss's girlfriend seems really nice and really mm-hmm. cool and everything. And I didn't realize that was Sarah Bolger. And she was on Once Upon a Time for a while. I think she was Aurora, and she was, I believe she was Lady Mary on The Tudors. So she's got some serious acting chops. So...
Right.
I'm wondering if she's going to continue to just be, you know, a three lines an episode character, if she's going to end up being something more. It'll be interesting to see. And of course, we finally get to meet Mrs. Jarvis.
Yes, Anna.
Yes, and she is super cool, and she is an absolute dead ringer for my friend Kristen. So I was immediately talking with people, we have to get Kristen to cosplay her at Dragon Con. But,
I did love that finally, and I love Anna's attitude, and she's definitely Edwin's complete opposite.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, she's just a good compliment. But you know, that's
well,
something.
It's that one way where you know your opposite is your compliment.
Right. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember thinking. I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was like, how can you bring, you know, they're such a great team. You bring in somebody else and it's not going to work anymore. And it reminded me of on Sherlock when you had, of course, the great team of Sherlock and Watson. Uh-huh. And then Watson was going to get married. And I thought, oh, God, this is going to break up the bromance. You know, this is going to be terrible. But it was well written enough that Mary in Sherlock ended up being a perfect fit, and it ended up being
right.
fine. And I'm very glad to see that this is not going to turn into some kind of, you know, weird competitive triangle relationship or something like that. She's
no,
like...
I get the feeling that Anna would probably be up for that.
Well, no, that's totally not what I meant, but that would be interesting.
She was from the continent, so...
oh,
sorry.
Oh, good times. But I think it's great because she
I look forward to your letters.
Yes.
ESO cares.
Yes, indeed. But it seems like she's going to make a great, you know, just buddy for Agent Carter and, you know, picking out dresses and things like that. You know, she doesn't have Angie out here, so I think that's a good fit for her to be
and
working
when,
in there.
I mean, when Jarvis had to help with the disguises, you know, you could tell how uncomfortable he was with it. And
right.
Anna was just like, oh, here, let's try this.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And then we had another character that was introduced. We had Dr. Wilkes.
Yes.
And again, that was just another scene that just didn't. I mean, it was very, you know, four color comics, but it just was weird to me that she's sneaking through the halls of this company and this random guy comes out and says, "Here, drink this." I mean, that was just weird, I thought. You know, if it's supposed to be this super secret facility. But,
like, super awesome wine. Here, have some.
Yeah, exactly. But he was interesting. He was fun. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if he continues to be a major character, if he ends up being a potential romance character for Peggy.
Yeah, because we don't know what happened to him at the end of the second episode.
Right, exactly. And it would be good for them, you know, especially with Howard not around, to have, you know, some kind of team science person to help with that side of the investigation. So we'll see how that goes. That could be interesting. Although I will say one of the things that several people have commented on was how great it was to see, you know, diversity in casting and things like that. But that scene where they go into, like, I guess it was like a diner or something because they want to use the phone. Peggy was just super, super clueless about that. I mean, I get that she's, you know, she's been in Europe, she's, you know, had African American guys in combat and things like that, but she just seemed so oblivious to the level of racism at that time.
Well, yeah, and at least at that point in Britain,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't until after the war that really that Britain started becoming a lot more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
When you had a lot more people coming in from the Caribbean,
sure,
from India and Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
And up until that point, Britain was pretty much all white.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly, I think there was a good bit of Indian immigration, but Europe has always had a different flavor of racism than we have here, but
right.
I mean, Peggy's not dumb, and she's been in the States for long enough that, you know, it's not like there wasn't any racism in New York.
Yes.
You know, it's different regions of the country have it in different ways, but, you know, when she was shocked that the guy in the diner was like, "Are you okay, ma'am?" And she's like, "Of course I'm okay." And she just seemed completely oblivious to that. And that was just another thing that didn't quite ring true for me.
And of course, she's very much upset about it. For Wilkes, he's like, that's, you know, for him, it's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. But mm-hmm. And
so he is noticeably less offended, even though he has every right to be.
Of course. And it's sort of a matter of, you know, do we take this, you know, as what it was really like at that time, mm-hmm. or do we, you know, look at this from modern sensibilities of this is terrible? And obviously they played with that in the first season, and I'm sure they will again this season, you know, with the way that men treated Peggy,
mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, not acknowledging her abilities and stuff. But, you know, it's good. I'm glad that that's something that they're addressing in the show, but it just seemed weird to have Peggy be so surprised that it would happen. I mean, yes, it's wrong, but she just seemed like, how could this possibly happen?
And that, well, she's just never had to experience it before.
Yeah, I guess, but it was just kind of
mm-hmm.
kind of weird. So we mentioned we've got Dottie in the first part, although it looks like she's getting, you know, taken off to like an FBI prison or something. So I don't know.
It looks that way.
If she's gonna escape, or, you know, if she's gonna end up out in Los Angeles, or, I mean, I hope she sticks around because I think she's a great bad guy. But it will remains to be seen what's gonna happen with her. And I think it's funny that she dyed her hair brown, because now we have another blonde girl in right. Whitney Frost, who seems like is going to be one of our main antagonists for the season.
Right.
So her character is basically Madam Mask. They're saying,
yes,
she's not going to end up wearing a mask, but what can you they tell us
that.
About her? Yeah. Well,
Madam Mask was is primarily a villain for Iron Man in
mm-hmm.
the comics. She's also kind of a femme fatale love interest for
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost like, she's his Catwoman in a sense.
Okay.
And she was, you know, a beautiful young woman, debutante, Her father, unbeknownst to her, was a major crime leader named Count Nefaria.
With a name like that, you gotta be a bad guy.
Oh yeah, you know, you don't get to go around giving away free puppies.
Right, right.
But essentially, she was in an accident. Her face wasn't actually damaged, but she believes it was. It's kind of one of those things where she looks in the mirror and she an ugly, horribly scarred person when that's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
So she took to wearing the mask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she actually popped up recently in the new Invincible Iron Man series, where she was messing around with magic artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony actually has to team with Victor Von Doom to help take her down. Or the new post-Secret Wars version of Doom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So, does she have any kind of, like, superpowers or anything?
No, she's basically a highly trained, combatant.
Okay.
There's not been any real actual powers up until this recent Iron Man run.
Now, it'll be interesting, though, because as with many things, the first time I watched this, it went by so fast that I was like, wait, what did we just see? But it looks like she has absorbed the magic zero matter into herself by the end, right?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. She's got that little cut on her forehead that's all black and whatnot. So, you know, maybe the whole thing about not having the mask is a little misleading. Maybe, like, if it starts to really kind of corrupt her and change her face, that she might start wearing something.
Yeah, or it could be, you know, that it's, I mean, it could go in a lot of different directions. But, yeah.
It's really way too early to tell what's going to happen with it, because right now she seems to be able to cover it up.
Right, right. It's just a little scratch. Now, another thing was that I thought I had a good idea what was going on with the blob of goo, and then I'm not sure. So at first, the way that it was, like, moving around and stuff reminded me of, you know, the monolith, the alien artifact that ended up being the gateway to the blue planet and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also talking about how I think they were calling it Zero Matter on the show, I think, wasn't it?
Right, and
That was going to connect with Dark Force.
Yeah, Feige has pretty much come out and said that this is the tie to Doctor Strange in Agent Carter. And that, you know, in our modern era of the MCU, we call it Dark Force, but back then they called it Zero Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we see from the footage that Wilkes shows Peggy that it's an unintended consequence of an atomic blast,
right?
An atomic test blast, that it has seemingly opened up a rift to another dimension, and which could be the dark dimension and where this stuff comes from.
So, if that's the case, then this is not related to the alien stuff that they've got the cubes of now?
I mean, until they say otherwise. I mean, they've definitively said, yeah, this stuff is Dark Force.
Right. But now that's making me wonder if the stuff in S.H.I.E.L.D. is also Dark Force. Right?
I feel like we would have had that tie already, considering that, I mean, we've had the Monolith, had Blackout, who is powered by Dark Force.
Right, right. That's true. Okay, yeah, I can see that. It just like I said, as with many things in there, like like when the detective was drinking from the water fountain and it started to freeze, and I was like, I was unclear if he had done that or if the water had started to freeze and then he started to freeze. There was something with a note that we got to see for just a split second that I couldn't read.
We're still learning what's going on, because as far as we know, the freezing thing may be something completely separate.
Right. And that was one of the points of the episode is, you know, don't assume that one crime is related to another.
Right.
But I guess that's probably why I was having a disconnect, because we got to see this black, you know, stuff that changes shape and everything, and then we find out someone's running around who has inhuman-like powers, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me think, oh, well, it's got to be, you know, related to the Terrigen stuff in some way. But again, that it seems like if that is tied in with dark matter in some way, it seems like we would have had they would have made that connection in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being super dense, but I found a number of things like that just kind of confusing. Now, do you think Whitney's husband, Mr. Chadwick, is he just kind of a dupe that's just sort of, you know, she's using him, or do you think he's going to get more interesting?
You know what? I think he's probably about his maximum level of interesting.
Okay.
I don't think he's necessarily a dupe. He's, or at least, he's not her dupe.
Okay.
I believe he is mostly the council's dupe,
mm-hmm.
and she's probably feeling like this should have been more... she's almost like his Lady Macbeth, I think.
Right, right.
It's like, you should be doing more, you should be pushing harder.
Mm-hmm.
And, so she's really kind of the more cunning, villainous one of the two of them.
Right.
And I think that's gonna bring her into conflict with the council at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And one side or the other is gonna end up killing him.
that's probably true. I was texting back and forth with you as I was watching this, but when Ray Wise showed up, I was like, yay, Ray Wise, rocks on!
He's back.
Yes!
Further cementing that he is not a good guy.
Exactly.
Ray Wise is never a good guy.
He never is. And he's got that George Hamilton spray tan look right now.
Yeah.
That just looks, you know, just enhances the evil. And they did not, it was interesting because like that particular group, it wasn't clear if it was, because I was wondering if Aes Sedain was owned by Roxxon or something like that, because Roxxon's an energy company,
right.
But I don't know if it's that or if they're, you know, if they're kind of the revival of the Hydra Council or what.
I mean, we saw that symbol, and it's a very familiar symbol for people
right.
who follow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of those key components of the Hydra logo.
Yes, and not the Hydra logo of the octopus
right.
with all the arms, but yes, and friend of the show Lucas had just posted something online before we started recording, showing side by side the big symbol on the wall and the little stick pins next to Will's mission patch. That has the mm-hmm. little like space shuttle, but that also has that Delta Triangle on it as well. So yeah, it sounds like these, you know, this council of people could be the, you know, 1940s version of what we saw in the castle in Germany in the 1800s or something.
Yeah. No, well, it wasn't in Germany. It was in England.
Oh, in England.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. But yeah, so it looks like that's and that is, you know, in some way tied in with Hydra. You know, it doesn't seem like the Red Skull branch of Hydra necessarily,
no.
but
we know from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Hydra is an organization that predates the Red Skull.
Right, right, exactly. But it seems like rather than being like the part that was Red Skull and that was, you know, trying to kill people and everything, and you know that Toby Jones' character that came back at the end of
Zola.
Yes, Zola. You know that Zola was sort of in that branch of things. But this seems like this is a different offshoot going in a different direction, right. Maybe more. And it makes sense that this would be the more sort of business and political branch that ends up we end up with people like Pierce in Winter Soldier. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Anything else you can think of you want to touch on?
I think that was mainly it.
So I guess we can go ahead and do a
that,
rating.
That dang, or that flamingo.
Oh, the flamingo! Bernard. Yes, Bernard. Yes, indeed.
Bernard Stark.
You're definitely gonna have to carry around a pink flamingo.
Devil in pink.
With the devil in pink, indeed. For your cosplay, that will definitely have to be an accessory.
And one of the things I loved about those scenes was that it continues the whole Jarvis is concerned with the mundane Stark related stuff while the big action is still going on.
Exactly. He keeps everything grounded and down to earth and makes you remember that for some people flamingos are the biggest problem that they face during a day.
Right.
So since these were shown back to back and for me they both just kind of blend together, I think we can do a rating for the two of them as one. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, so are we doing back to red hats instead of shields? Or you want to do flamingos?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Flamingos.
Excellent. So on a scale of 1 to 5 flamingos, with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you rate this double episode?
I'm going to give this one 4 pink devils.
Okay, excellent. You think it was a better than average, but not quite awesome?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, understand the lower ratings as much as, or some people trying to spin the lower ratings for the premiere
mm-hmm.
as a sign that it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. I think it was very good. I mean, obviously shifting things out to LA is a little off-putting,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably one of the reasons why it doesn't get the full five flamingos.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it was very good. Jarvis and Peggy step back into their familiar roles.
Yep.
It's a good mystery as any.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly seem to be lots of twists and turns, and kind of who can you trust and how much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we had this. It did what it needed to do. This is a great setup for the season.
Right.
We've got lots of different directions we can go in it. I'm gonna go with a 3, even though I very much enjoyed it. It was something where I had an awful lot of moments of going, wait, what just happened? You know, where it's like you look away for a split second and then you come back and you're like, I don't even know what I'm seeing here.
Well, because we were talking what was going on and I had to ask you a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What did that say? What was...
Yeah, and I was doing the same thing with other people too. I mean, like if you look away for 3 seconds to check a text, and then you're like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm not wild about that in terms of mm-hmm. A shooting style, and like I said, the one of the big fights at the beginning with Peggy and Dottie, there was just a lot of whirling around and a lot of hair flying and some weird slow-mo. And I know that they can do really, really good fight choreography on this show. And
right.
I just felt like we didn't get to see it because of the way that they shot it. So, solid 3 for me. It was very good, but a lot of the camera work and the choices that they made, just brought it down for me because I don't like to have to work that hard. I don't like to have to see it mm-hmm. a second time to figure out what's going on with something. So I'm hoping that gets tightened up on future episodes. But story-wise, I thought it was great. Great performances, lot of potential, and I'm looking forward to it. So yay!
Yes!
Indeed. And I'm not What we got at the end, I don't think was a preview of next week so much as it was of the whole season. So we can definitely see there's lots of fun stuff to come, but we don't really have a clear lead into the next episode. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to it. And as I mentioned at the beginning, for anyone who wants to see it again, they are going to be rerunning it on Sunday on ABC in the evening. So if you want to get another viewing in, that is an option. And then we will be seeing a new episode on Tuesday. So yeah, I'm excited. We've got there's a lot of good stuff on TV coming up right now. Just as we're recording this, we just had the premiere of Legends of Tomorrow, which looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like we need to with some of the stuff coming up, we need to do an episode for non-Marvel but related stuff. Like, we've got Deadpool coming up in just a month. And he's Marvel.
Ooh.
Yes, he's Marvel, but he's not MCU.
And I love the ad campaign that they decided to do, trying to spin Deadpool as a romantic film.
I think that's hilarious, because it's coming out for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've done a lot of very clever marketing with that. So I think we're gonna have to spend a little bit of time on Deadpool. And then we've got Apocalypse coming out this summer. So we may morph into a more Marvel Cinematic Multiverse for some episodes. But yeah, lots of cool stuff coming up. And hopefully, if all goes according to plan, we will be back to coming to you on a weekly basis. So we are looking forward to that. And I guess that's it for this week. We will talk to you again next week.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.